Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body, so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
This episode sponsored by Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers delivers 100% American meat straight to your door. Every cut is sourced from local U.S. farms and ranches, and the entire packaging and fulfillment process takes place right here in America before it's delivered to your doorstep. No imports, ever. Just high-quality, 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood. I'm a subscriber, and my plan is incredibly easy to manage. Traveling? Need to skip a delivery? You can pause, move, or adjust your order anytime in just a few clicks. Right now, when you start your plan, you'll get free meat in every box for life, plus $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use code RANCH25 to start your Good Ranchers plan today.
Titans training camp is just a few days away. This is part two of our Titans training camp preview, looking at all the storylines you need to know and follow. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Oh, welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible podcast presented by Broadway Sports Media in partnership with 440 Sports. I'm Justin Graver. With me, as always, is Justin Mello. And today, Justin, as I mentioned, we are going through our training camp storylines to watch for the Titans as part of our Titans training camp preview part two. How's it going?
Doing well, man. Doing well. So excited. This is a two-parter, as you said. Part one, I thought we did a great job going over all the key dates, what we're excited about that's to come in the coming weeks. And we also looked at the offense, defense, projecting starters, the overhaul, with a focus on the overhaul of the roster. I think we said just 9 returning starters out of 22. So that was a great one. If you didn't check it out, go back in the feed and watch that one. But here we are for part two of the training camp preview. It's just a couple days away. I'm so pumped.
Me too. We got a bunch of storylines we're going to look at here, talking about Will Levis, talking about the position battles on the offensive line, on defense, you know, Tavondre Sweat, inside linebacker Jamal Adams, additional signings the Titans might look to do. So we got a lot of storylines to go through. Let's go through them now. But first, let me remind everyone, if you're listening, we do appreciate it. We love the support. Audio is a great platform. However, we are really trying to grow the YouTube channel here at the Music City Audible. So if you could just let that podcast play on your phone in the background, but head over to YouTube and pull up the Music City Audible channel, turn on this podcast, and subscribe to the Music City Audible. Give this video a thumbs up, like, and turn on channel alerts so you get a notification every time we drop a new video. And also, I forgot to say this on the last one, leave comments. We love comments. Comments are amazing. They help the video grow. The more comments a video gets, the more it spits it in other people's feeds. So we really appreciate the comments from you guys and the support. Yes.
And you guys have been crushing it on the comments front. Like all our videos lately, 40 comments, 50 comments, you guys are crushing it. So appreciate that. Keep it up.
Yeah, we really appreciate all that support. And we get in there. We talk to you guys. If you want to chat with us, ask us questions, or just throw a comment in there. It says tighten up, boosting the algorithm, whatever you want. We are going to respond to you guys. We love having those conversations, and we appreciate the community and the support around the Music City Audible. So without further ado, let's get into this episode that is presented by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. More about Sinker's Beverages to come. Let's get into the first storyline. I think this is obvious, Justin, but we can't not talk about it, so we're going to talk about it. Will Levis, his development, how does he look? What is his command of a brand new offense? What does the offense, you know, kind of look like with Will Levis at the helm? Is the average depth of target coming down? Is it more quick passes? Is it those slants and those quick outs to wide receivers that we saw like once every 50 plays under Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel and the previous offensive coordinators here? I'm expecting a lot more early down passing, first down passing, quick passes. But how does Will Levis look in those situations? Can he handle that high passing volume? Because, you know, it's a lot of a question with Marcus Mariota. A lot of the time was like, why don't the Titans pass more? And it's like, maybe it was because Marcus Mariota couldn't handle being a high volume passer and be and continue to be efficient. So what does Will Levis look in that role? And just like the main thing I want to see, because we're not going to know a ton about the offense from like training camp reports, is the command. Like, does he look in control at the line of scrimmage? Does he look like a leader? Is he having conversations with wide receivers after plays to get the timing down to let them know where he wants them to be and for them to let him know where they want the ball and things like that? So I'm really obviously really interested in seeing how Will Levis looks here.
Damn it, you're so smart. I love doing this show with you because I didn't think you were going to take my point away this time, but you did. Because I'm going to tread lightly with how I...
We have like a competition every show. Whoever gets to talk first is like racing to get all their points out so the other person doesn't steal what they're about to say.
Because I'm going to tread lightly on how I judge Will Levis throughout this period. And what I was going to say was what you said, which is I think what I'm going to put the most stock into is more so his command of the new offense. Because if he goes out there and lights it up, remember that lots of guys light it up in training camp and it doesn't always translate. And the opposite is also true. That's not just me being negative. If he goes out there and looks terrible and throws a bunch of interceptions, you also want him taking some of those risks right. In training camp, right? That's the best time to test tight throwing windows and trust your receivers and try to build that chemistry and trust with them. You know what? Calvin Ridley, look at that. He comes down with the ball that I took a chance on. Yeah. I feel confident doing that during the season. So tread lightly with judging performances. Obviously, we want them to do well. But Treylon Burks might have been the MVP of training camp performances last season. Justin Hunter was once upon a time, right? Like the list goes on and on. So, of course, you don't want him to look terrible. But I agree. I think the most important thing is getting this offense down packed, making sure that him and Brian Callahan are on the same page and that he's got, because it is a new scheme. It's going to be quite new, quite different from what he ran last year. Maybe some overlap with what he had in Kentucky with Liam Cohen. We don't know for sure, but they come from similar coaching trees. So maybe, but that's the most important thing is getting command of this offense.
Yeah, that. And the other thing I'm interested in seeing, like decision-making, you mentioned it, like he's going to be testing stuff. He's going to be trying stuff. Brian Callahan even said a few months ago that like this is the time he wants to see his quarterbacks in practice, try windows and experiment with things to know what their limits are. But I'm also going to be curious to hear the reports on his accuracy, especially the short ball accuracy, the quick pass accuracy, because that's not as much of a decision-making thing. That's not as much of a like, oh, he's just learning a new offense. He has reformatted his mechanics a little bit this offseason. We've seen it in some of the training videos. He's moved his release point a little bit higher than it was in previous seasons. So his mechanics have been slightly tweaked. He's worked on his footwork a lot. Brian Callahan's talked about that too. So I'm interested to see if those things translate to a more accurate passer, because I think Will Levis has the ability to hit a dime from 50 yards away, but it's the consistent ability. Can he do that on 90% of his throws as opposed to 50% of his throws? Avoid the errant throws. And I think that will, you know, result in a huge jump in production for him and for the offense. So I'm interested to see that in addition to some of the other stuff, the control that we talked about. It's just like, is he an accurate passer, as accurate as he needs to be? All right, moving on to the second storyline that we are tracking. What is happening on the right side of the offensive line? If this is part two that you're listening to, if you listen to part one, you know that we projected starters for the right side of the line to be Sadiq Charles at right guard, Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle. That's sort of what the indications are. We haven't received any concrete information on this, that we don't know for sure that Sadiq Charles has a lead. We don't know for sure that NPF is going to be the first shot to get that right tackle job. What we do know is that NPF was rehabbing for most of the spring, basically all of the spring, I would say. We didn't really see him on the field at all during the spring. So we don't really know where his pecking order is. And then Daniel Brunskill, obviously in the mix at right guard. Dylan Radins, obviously in the mix at right guard. What is Jalen Duncan's status? Another guy who was rehabbing during the spring. So there are four guys in the mix for two spots here. And I think all four of them could probably play guard or tackle if like pressed into action in a pinch, you know, if they had to. I'm not saying that's their ideal position, but so it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I am expecting it on that July 23rd conditioning day and that July 24th first practice on the field. I'm expecting Sadiq Charles to be first team right guard and Nicholas Petit-Frere to be first team right tackle.
This is probably a stupid thing for me to say, but for some reason, I'm almost more confident in Charles being the right guard
than I am too.
NPF being the right tackle, right? And part of that is because NPF missed all of the spring, rehabbing that shoulder. Are we sure he's there first day of practice, ready to go? I mean, I assume that's what they wanted the timeline to be. And the injury he suffered, like, I was shocked he was still rehabbing, to be honest, because the injury was what, like October, November, roughly? Against this, it was the primetime game against the Steelers when he hurt his shoulder. So Will Levis is what, second or third career start? So that was a surprise to me that he was still out. So is he going to be out? And if he is, who works at first team right tackle? Is it Jalen Duncan? Now, I have a feeling it will be NPF, and they probably were playing things safe. And he to be honest, he can ill afford to miss this period, right? Like, he is not a penciled in starter. This is not a veteran guy coming back that's proven. He's got to earn this job. And the competitors aren't great. Jalen Duncan, Jerron Christian, Leroy Watson, a couple guys that have history with Bill Callahan, the latter two do that. They went out and acquired this offseason, by the way, one through trade. So you do think he's got to be out there, right? And if he can be, he will be, obviously. But that sort of caveat is why, as of now, I've got more confidence in Charles being the right guard.
And a name we didn't mention is the guy who ran with the first team right tackle group for most of the spring is John Ajukwu. Is he really in the mix, or was he just out there because Duncan and NPF were hurt? That's a question that will be answered very early on in training camp, assuming Duncan and NPF get back on the field. So definitely going to be tracking this. I mean, this is the number one position battle on the team. It's the only starting job or jobs up for grabs is right guard, right tackle. I mean, tight end one, maybe we're about to talk about in a second, inside linebacker, maybe, but those other positions have guys that are more or less penciled in versus this right guard, right tackle, I think is wide open. So everyone's going to be tracking that battle nonstop. I think we're going to get sick of hearing about that battle, especially if, like, after a week, if Sadiq Charles has been the right guard for a week straight at the first team, it's going to be like, we kind of know that battle's wrapped up, but it's still going to be the number one most talked about battle, because I doubt Brian Callahan's going to come out and say at any point, like, oh, Sadiq is our starting right guard for sure week one. That's not going to happen before end of August, right? So interesting to track all that. All right, the last storyline we have here for the offense that interests us, and this is aside from, like, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd integrating into a new offense and some of the other position pieces, and J.C. Latham as a rookie.
There's some obvious things maybe we're not mentioning, like watching J.C. Latham,
right,
and and all that. Like, this is more the positional battle stuff, the storylines that are maybe fly under your radar.
Yeah, and Calvin Ridley, I'll just say before I move to the third storyline, noted training camp beast. You talked about Treylon Burks standing out last year, and you talked about Justin Hunter once upon a time standing out. Calvin Ridley, especially last year in Jacksonville, it was like, holy shit, is this guy the best receiver in the world? Based on some of the clips and the hype that was coming out of Jacksonville media, it led to me drafting him on every fantasy team that I ran last year. And he had an incredible week one. He had like 150 yards and two touchdowns in week one. And then I don't think he scored that many fantasy points as he did in week one combined over the next like five games. So Calvin Ridley, fast starter. Let's see if he can keep that consistency going throughout the full season. But anyway,
a big difference, though, obviously, right? We're talking about a proven 1,000-yard receiver. Oh, I'm not, and I know you didn't mean that, but I'm not worried about him compared to a Treylon Burks or Justin Hunter. In fact, I've got a take. I don't know if this is a take because maybe most people agree, but I think he's going to be the number one receiver this year. Like, I think he catches more balls, has more receiving yards than DeAndre Hopkins.
I could see Hopkins having more receptions just for his role as like a sort of a chain mover, and Ridley having more yards as like a big play, deep ball kind of guy. But we'll obviously see. But no, my point with that wasn't to say don't believe the Ridley hype. It was more to be like, get excited because this guy's going to be making plays every day, and we're going to love every second of it. All right. The third storyline that we're tracking, the tight end one battle. There has been like a quiet little uprising of just murmurings that maybe Josh Wiley is going to take over the starting tight end one role from Chigga Conquo. And the way Callahan has used his tight ends in the past, it's been very much a rotation. Saw it last year in Cincinnati with all the guys that were rotating through, Tanner Hudson, Irv Smith, and all the other guys that they've had over the years under Callahan. So maybe this is a situation where it doesn't really matter, sort of like running back, like they're all going to play, so it doesn't matter. But it is interesting to note Josh Wiley has been featured a lot in some of the media, like releases, photos, announcements, like training camp preview photos of Josh Wiley by himself on the cover of articles and stuff. And there's been lots of like just talk about how he's done in the offense. Nick Holtz talking about him as a big red zone weapon and a mismatch and his ability as a big bodied receiver over the middle of the field, I think could be a difference maker if he sort of takes that next step in his second year. So Is Chigakonko going to win the tight end one job, or is Josh Whiteley going to sort of quietly sneak up and steal it from him? We're definitely going to be tracking how these guys are, how the snaps are being distributed between these two guys, not just in training camp, but preseason and the joint practices and everything.
Yeah, I think, you know, this take has been simmering on Titans Twitter for a while now, and our group chat had kind of led the way with Mike Herndon, myself, you, Zach, F-Words Pod, Greenlaw, like all of us sort of in agreement here. And I think the line of thinking, the notion, and it makes a lot of sense, it's not groupthink, it's that if this team is shifting to 11 personnel, and they are offensively, not as many two tight end sets, excuse me, when you're going to have one tight end in the game, and I'm you know, grasping at the measurements here, but is it going to be a guy that's 6'7", 245, 250, or is it going to be one that's, what, 6'3", 240, right? Like, the dual threat guy that's bigger, stronger, that can catch passes and also block is probably the one they're going to go to more often, I think, right? So that's why I've got Josh Whiteley in that spot. I just think when you're going with the one tight end set, you need a guy that can do everything, right? And Josh Wiley's better at doing everything than Chig is. And Chig is a good blocker for his size. I don't want this to turn into he's a bad blocker. Don't let that creep into it, because that's not true.
Right.
But he, you know, some of the natural capabilities that a 6'6" 250 guy has, it's just a different ball game, right, when you're talking about it. So that's why I think Josh Whiteley probably leads the tight end snaps. But this is a challenge for Brian Callahan, in all honesty, because Chig is a playmaker in the passing game, and he's a threat in the open field. And the onus will be on Callahan to not forget about him. He's probably going to keep himself up at night at times going, damn, how can I get him the ball a little bit more? Because yeah, I've got Calvin Ridley and D-Hop and Boyd, how can I get this guy the ball? Because he makes plays for it. And because I've got all those guys, defenses probably aren't focusing on him as much as they should. So there's some opportunities for some mismatches there, excuse me, manufacture some plays for him.
Yeah, I'll hit you with a little trivia question, Justin. You may know the answer to this. You're such a big draft nerd. Sorry. Who would you say is more athletic, Chigakonko or Josh Whiteley?
Oh, man, that's... I thought that I want to say Whiteley had a better relative athletic score coming out, didn't he?
Not even close. Chigakonko, yeah. 6.47. Josh Whiteley, 8.98. Now, the caveat here is that RAS puts a lot of emphasis on size. So Chigakonko actually did run like a faster 40, 4.52 compared to Josh Whiteley, 4.69. He had better explosive numbers, 35.5-inch vertical compared to 33.5-inch vertical for Josh Whiteley. But the size is a big separator, because running 4.69 at 6'6.5" is a little different than running 4.52 at 6'2.5". So right, he did have a much higher relative athletic score, though, which I don't know if I would have guessed that just based on watching Josh Whiteley as a rookie and Chigakonko for 2 years, and especially rookie Chigakonko, who was such a good tackle breaker and, like you said, such a big playmaker in the passing game. He wasn't that same guy quite to that level of ability to like run yards after catch, break tackles, and make plays last season, which is another reason why some of us are sort of floating this Josh Whiteley over Chigakonko take out there, is because of how Chig struggled a little bit more last year, and he also struggled with drops more last year. So we'll see how this all plays out, but I'm definitely going to be following this one very closely, and especially as like a fantasy guy, tight end, such a hard position to nail. If you don't get one of the big ones, and then you're just drafting a late round guy, hoping, taking a chance and a flyer. Like last year, because of his rookie season, a lot of people in the fantasy community were taking that flyer on Chigakonko, and it did not pay off at all. I would not take that flyer this year. If I'm taking a flyer on a Titans tight end with my like second to last pick, it's Josh Whiteley, just for the upside and the potential red zone ability.
I don't know that anyone should take a flyer on either of these guys in fantasy football, to be honest, because I don't think they're going to be involved enough from a statistical perspective, you know, with the receivers that this team has. And look at Brian Callahan's history. None of those tight ends in Cincinnati ever, I mean, they were all extensions, right? Like, you know, Hayden Hurst was okay, but they struggled to replace him since. But me personally, I mean, this isn't a fantasy football show, but I ain't touching those Titans tight ends in fantasy this year.
Yeah, I will say the tight ends did catch random numbers of touchdowns last year for the Bengals, but it was hard to predict who it was going to be. It was Drew Sample, it was Irv Smith, it was Tanner Hudson. I think there was one game where they like all three scored a touchdown and no one else on the Bengals scored a touchdown or something like that. But I do think like red zone wise, if Josh Whiteley catches 7 touchdown passes this year, he's going to be fantasy relevant for some weeks.
Yes.
But that's a lot, so we'll see if that happens. All right. Going to flip over to our defensive storylines now. We got 3 on offense, 3 on defense, and then a special teams one. Before we get to the defensive storylines, let's remind everyone that this episode is brought to you by Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville and Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. Sinker's Beverages is the premier wine, spirits, and beer store in East Nashville, serving the community since 1985. Their knowledgeable staff is proud to help you with large parties, themed events, or finding something unique for a special occasion. From birthday parties to milestone celebrations to everyday moments, Sinker's can help with the right drink for every occasion. And if you head to the sinkersbeverages.com website or check out the link in this podcast description, you can join the in crowd. In-crowd members get access to allocated wines and spirits, exclusive events, early access to barrel releases, and more. So check out sinkersbeverages.com today. All right, Justin, defensive storylines here. The first one, maybe this isn't the most important, but to me it's the most interesting, and maybe you can blame my college fandom bias on this one, but tracking T'Vondre Sweat's overall status and mostly participation, because we've seen already some of the people who were doom and gloom, T'Vondre Sweat, horrible pick. That crowd of Titans fan has already been using some of that, you know, the missing some of the spring practice time and some of the like minor injury he dealt with. Obviously, the DUI was a big deal, and we're not going to sweep that under the rug. But there's been a contingent of Titans fans and people who cover the team who are anti-Sweat from the beginning, who have been pushing all the anti-Sweat stuff. And then there's a contingent of Titans fans who are give this kid a shot. He was the defensive lineman, or I guess lineman of the year in college football last year, offense and defense. He won that award, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he was a game wrecker at Texas, and a lot of Titans fans are excited to see that potential paired with Jeffrey Simmons. Where are you at on the T'Vondre Sweat question conversation here? What do you want to see from him? What do you need to see from him? Do you agree with your buddy Lomas, who's writing for you at Titan Size, that he has to make a big first impression here? Like, where are you at on T'Vondre Sweat?
Yeah, I came to Lomas's defense on that one, by the way. Never thought I'd see the day, but he wrote an article saying that T'Vondre Sweat has to make a good first impression at training camp because it's his last chance to make a good first impression, since he didn't get that chance, really, or much of a chance. He missed most of their practices. I thought that was a totally sensible thing to say, and people jumped down his throat. And look, maybe he deserves that because he's Lomas has been so anti-Sweat that anything he says about him, people are going to jump down his throat. He's earned that from because he talks bad about Sweat a lot, right? So but I thought that point was a fair thing to say, and I came to his defense because, he does. I think like you'd be kind of silly if you don't have questions at this point, right? Like, come on, like we've got to see it, right? And it's early enough. There's lots of time. I get all that, right? But I will say Dan Brugler doing him no favors, favors on social media. Like, he came out the other day and said there were teams that didn't have him on his draft board at all.
Which knew that, though. We heard that in April.
But it doesn't make Rand Carthon look great for not taking the trade back at 39 or whatever, right? Like, come on. Not on the draft. It's a bad sign, right? It's interesting.
It's bad process. It's like, this is a totally different conversation. It's bad process to believe that your scouting report on a guy is more worthwhile than 4 extra picks or however many it would have been. Like, that's just, we know the draft is a crapshoot and it's hard to get the player right, so... More picks usually means better chance of getting the player right. So I agree, but as a Texas fan, T'Vondre Sweat is awesome.
No matter how you feel about him, you've got to be monitoring the situation closely, right? Like, he's got to come in, he's got to be healthy, he's got to stay on the field, he's got to stay out of trouble. All that stuff is true. So definitely one to watch throughout July and August.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's going to be the biggest individual player microscope that anyone is under out there, aside from maybe Will Levis, is probably T'Vondre Sweat on either side of the ball. All right, our next big storyline to track on defense is that inside linebacker job. Titans signed Kenneth Murray this offseason. They retained Jack Gibbons in free agency, giving him like the restricted whatever deal that he got, the minimum bullshit deal that he has to sign if he wants to keep playing football, essentially, because he's a undrafted free agent originally. Otis Reese returns. Chance Campbell returns. They draft Cedric Gray. They signed Jamal Adams, who we're not sure what his role is going to be. More on that in a second. But this inside linebacker job, they get a lot of bodies. They don't have a lot of guys that are like have ever been high level linebackers in the NFL before. So how is this position going to shake out?
That's the best thing you can say about this group right now. There are a lot of them, right? Yeah. You didn't even mention like a Garrett Wallo, JoJo Doman, still under roster, still under contract. The only thing I guess really worth monitoring, there might be nothing worth monitoring here. There might be a lot. Does Jack Gibbons keep running away with the job? I mean, that was the early indication. Like Brian Callahan was so complimentary of him throughout OTAs and minicamp, talked about his leadership. So do we just see Jack Gibbons next to Kenneth Murray and it's cut and dry? Can I get into the Jamal Adams conversation?
Yeah,
really
sure.
Quick?
Let's spin this into our third storyline also, which is how will Jamal Adams be used? Is he going to be a strong safety? Is he going to be sort of a big nickel linebacker type body? So yeah, go ahead. Loop that into this linebacker convo.
Yeah, because Ian Rappaport, by the way, Lomas actually put me onto this because I think he wrote an article mentioning it, I think, and I didn't realize it if he didn't point it out. I didn't watch the Twitter clip that Ian Rappaport put out when they signed him.
I did, yeah.
You did. Ian Rappaport actually said, how are they going to use him? Is he going to be a linebacker? Like, I that kind of piqued my interest a little bit because maybe Ian Rappaport just comes out and says, oh, is that your dog coming out of your chest? I just realized that right now. I didn't even if you're listening to this podcast, you missed the clip where Graver's dog just appears to be growing out of his chest like the Venom movie of Tom Hardy. Like he's just kind of
right
morphing into his dog. If you watch the Ian Rappaport clip, he said, is he going to be a linebacker? I don't know that Ian Rappaport said, I mean, maybe he does, but I don't know if he says that without some inkling. I mean, he's secure enough in his job where he could totally just guess that and could be wrong, right? But it at least piqued my and plus we see it happen, right? Like
right.
There was one guy, I couldn't remember the name for the life of me, it bothers me. But didn't Keanu Neal, he was one guy that switched from safety to linebacker. There was another one a couple of years ago that was a big one that extended his career because he did it. Jamal Adams, the skill set leans towards it being a possibility, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I can't wait to find out how and where they're using Jamal Adams.
Was it one of the Edmonds brothers who also transitioned?
Maybe. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it was more of a veteran guy than that.
Yeah,
but
okay.
But anyway.
So that's definitely a big one. And then, you know, okay, Beansh. Possibly the idea of Adams being a linebacker or being a strong safety. And if he is a linebacker, this leads to what I would call one of our last storylines. This applies to defense. I said there were three. I guess there's four. Any more signings to come? Are the Titans going to sign somebody to play edge? Carl Lawson, familiarity with Brian Callahan, still out there on the market. The two safeties that every Titans fan wants them to sign, Quandre Diggs, Justin Simmons, both still out there. There's been a lot of like social media sort of secretive chatter, sort of hint chatter about potentially Quandre Diggs. Maybe he's just celebrating his former teammate Jamal Adams signing with the Titans, or maybe he's saying, I'm coming too. I don't know. It's hard to read the situation there. So that's going to be something that we'll track, especially early on in training camp. Is any more signings to come? Any help coming to bolster the depth at that edge position, the depth and starting abilities of the safeties? So we'll definitely be watching that.
Yeah, another pass rusher, Tyus Bowser, you know, known by Denard Wilson over there in Baltimore a little bit. But I think this is a bit of a twofold question because once we find out how Jamal Adams is being used, I think we'll be able to talk about it a bit more. Because if Jamal Adams is a safety, then they're probably not going out to sign Justin Simmons or Quandre Diggs. But if you see him playing linebacker a lot, then we're really going to ramp up the conversation of they're still in the market for Justin Simmons or Quandre Diggs. So I think the Jamal Adams thing answers a lot of those questions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So those are the defensive storylines. We'll be tracking at least the big ones. Obviously, same thing that we said about the offense. How's L'Jarius Sneed looking, fitting in? It's so cool. We have like a premier cornerback in training camp now. Let's check him out. Obviously, Chidi Awuzie is with his familiarity with Callahan. How's he fitting in? What does Denard Wilson's defense look like overall? We're not going to learn a lot about that until week one anyway. So obviously, we're tracking those things as well. But these are the sort of, like you said, under the radar big storylines we're following. The last one we're going to hit here on this training camp preview is the kick return / punt return battle. This, I think, extends to a larger conversation that we're not going to have now, but maybe we will at some point before the season starts. The new kickoff return rule in the NFL. What does it look like? You know, the first team that figures this out really is going to have such an edge And it's the kind of thing I've said before. I think that, like, if Bill Belichick was still coaching in the league, I would put all my money on Bill Belichick to be the guy that figures out the kick return first. But how are the Titans going to do it? Is it going to be like your typical returner type of guy? Is it going to, like, we've seen mentioned that maybe Treylon Burks can be used in this role, which would surprise me if there's not a lot of injuries, but because he hasn't been the elusive tackle breaking threat that he was in college, he hasn't been that in the NFL. So I don't know if I like that, but is it going to be like a pure speed guy? Is it going to be like a Deebo Samuel type who just sheds tackles? Is it going to be like a running back? Because this play is almost like a run play with the way the blocking is going to develop. So this is a larger conversation, but that kick return battle, that punt return battle, it's probably going to decide some of the final roster spots at the back end of these like wide receiver, cornerback, safety position groups, even linebacker groups. Like this battle is going to be interesting to track.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be so many guys in the mix, and I'm excited to finally get an official list of who's in the mix. As soon as they're practicing, we'll get that list, right? But, you know, I thought Kyaris Jackson was pretty good at it last year before he got hurt. He made the roster because of it. Right. Jaquan Jackson, the sixth-round pick, I think is going to have a good chance to be that guy, right? You know, we know Mason Kinsey is probably going to be in that mix. Well, Julius Chestnut, Hassan Haskins were in that mix once upon a time. I don't love either of them in that role, but they might get some reps there. Does Tajay Spears get some reps there because of the new rules? You want a speedy, elusive guy. So I think one of the UDFA receivers was fielding them at minicamp. I think it was Sam Schnee. Gabe Judy Lally did a little bit of that when he worked out for the Titans. So a lot of players in the mix, excited to get to training camp and finally start narrowing that down. And where's Ryan Stonehouse, by the way, quickly
in his
on the special teams conversation? What's his health status? And is it going to be him? Or do you think he's going to be on the PUP at some point? It's going to be Ty Zentner to start the season. So another question there on special teams.
Yeah, we could go through the whole potential PUP list too as its own storyline, but like guys that we talked about already and guys that we talked about on the last episode, like the tackles, Nicholas Petitfrere, Jalen Duncan, even Tavondre Sweat, like how healthy are these guys?
Colton Dowell will probably start the season on that list right after tearing his ACL late in the season.
Yeah, so that's it. Those are the storylines to track. When it comes to punt returner, kick returner, my money's on the Jackson bros, one of the Jackson bros, Kiaris or Jaquan, who are of course not brothers, but that's where my attention will be. But I'm more interested just in like what the Titans, like preseason week one, what does the kick return formation and execution even look like? Because it's going to be wild to see. I don't think we're used to, as NFL fans, seeing such a drastic rule change from 1 year to the next. So that'll be really fun to track. But I think that does it, Justin. Titans training camp preview. We did it. We previewed it. Now we're ready for training camp to start on Tuesday. How excited could you be more excited? Is that the way to phrase it?
I couldn't be more excited. No, I'm pumped for it to start on Tuesday. We'll be following all the storylines closely. I'll have a ton of written content on all of it. Obviously hoping to get a couple interviews with some of these Titans players too as that week ramps up. So stay tuned. We're going to have a ton of coverage.
Yeah. And on Monday, the day before training camp, we will be releasing a video entitled "What to Expect from Brian Callahan's Offense with the Tennessee Titans," where I spend about 9 minutes just talking about hallmarks and tendencies that we could expect to see for in this new offense from Brian Callahan and a bunch of, it's a really cool video. I'm very proud of the work I did on it. So that'll be coming out on Monday. So stay tuned for that and make sure you don't miss it by subscribing to the Music City Audible channel. Give this video a thumbs up and turn on channel alerts so you get a notification when that video drops on Monday, because I'm not telling you what time. You gotta turn on alerts and then you'll know what time when it drops. So thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks also to Sinker's Beverages in East Nashville, Bluegrass Beverages in Hendersonville. As I said, you can join the in crowd on the sinkersbeverages.com website or check out the link in this podcast description. And Sinker's Beverages is on Uber Eats. So you don't have time to get to the store, you don't have gas in your car and you need some booze, just go to your Uber Eats app, search Sinker's Beverages and get everything you need delivered right to your door. Last thing I'll say is comment below anything you want. Just comment something. Justin and I will jump in there and respond to you. We appreciate all of the supporters out there, all the Music City Audible channel followers. We appreciate you as we are gearing up for what we hope to be a very fun, exciting season of Titans football here with training camp set to begin next week. All right, everyone, until next week when I will be on vacation, but we'll have plenty of content coming your way anyway. Y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body, so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's carealoha.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
This episode's sponsored by Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes getting your kids dressed a lot easier. Their signature bamboo fabric is incredibly soft, breathable, and gentle on sensitive skin. It stretches so kids can move comfortably all day, from playtime to bedtime. Parents love the smart details too, like double zippers and fold-over mittens that make diaper changes and getting dressed faster and easier. And because Little Sleepies are designed to grow with your child, they last longer than typical kids' clothes. Right now, discover the ultra-soft styles families swear by. Visit littlesleepies.com and find your new favorite pajamas today.